Hello, everybody, and welcome back to 80s Pop Tops. This episode, we will be covering an off-the-charts special episode, and I have decided to discuss concept albums. Now, concept album is an album a band makes where the whole album from beginning to end is supposed to tell a coherent story in each song telling a different bit. Now, these are all, people have their ones that did these, there was like The Wall, 2112 by Rush, but I'm going to pick one from the 80s that I really love. This is the 1988 album Operation Mindcrime by Queensryche. This is a rock opera concept album that was done by the band. This is tells the story of a lonely, disaffected man who gets taken and possessed by a cult leader to assassinate political and religious leaders so that he can become a demagogue and rule himself. So yeah, he's trying to destroy what he wants to become. So we're going to break down each of the songs, and I'm going to tell you the story behind the album and tell you a little bit about the band here and there. This was by Queensryche. This is a band who was from Seattle. They're considered progressive heavy metal, prog rock or whatever. Some people have wrongly considered them part of the hair metal group. No. They're from Seattle, so some even thought they were grunge. No. So they're kind of like everything in between. They're very progressive, more like a more harder version of Rush or Yes or something like that. Not very hair metal-y, not into partying. This is all our albums have thoughts or meanings behind it. I was introduced to them by the album Empire, which came out in 1990-91. That album was amazing. That has song probably most people are familiar with in Silent Lucidity. There's even better ones on there. Jet City Woman's amazing. The last song on that album is even one of the best. It's like a, not really a ballad, but it's more of a moody type song. So after we go through this, I would discuss going to that one, because if you like any of this, you'd like that one as well. So what I want to do is take us to 1988. They decided to make an album. Now this story follows Nicky, a drug addict who's become disillusioned with the corrupt society of his time and reluctantly becomes involved with a revolutionary group. As I said, they were picked to assassinate political leaders and everything around that. And so the story begins with Nicky waking up in a hospital after everything's happened. The story begins at the end and flashes back to the beginning. So it has a bunch of intercessionals with talking bits and everything. And it starts with a bit of a nurse coming in to shut off his television while the story's being told of what has happened, that the police have found him and that he's under arrest and now will face repercussions for his crime. And then it goes into the first song. The first song is, he's like, he's frustrated with society due to all the economic inequality, the corruption and hypocrisy around him. So this song is really, it's called Revolution Calling, and it's a direct strikeout against everything that this person considered was wrong with society. It's kind of a thin veil about everything that was happening in the 80s. And it has one of my favorite lines in it. It says, "Gotta make $1 million no matter who dies." So let's just take a quick listen to the first cut off this album. This is Revolution Calling. That was Revolution Calling. Now, after Nicky had been kind of swept into this secret organization bent on revolution and taking over the government for supposed good, he's introduced to the leader of this group called Dr. X. He manipulates Nicky through use of mind control and his heroin addiction. And this works because he uses a code word, sort of like the old Manchurian Candidate thing. And his code word is mind crime. Whenever he hears this word, Nicky is forced to do whatever he murder or whatever that the doctor, this demagogue, asks him to do. And it is through this that he is manipulated in many different ways. And the next song we're going to go into is the title track for this album, Operation Mindcrime. This is, if you listen to the whole song, you'll hear that it starts off with a phone call with this word repeated. And that's his trigger word to go out there and do the master's or the doctor's bidding. And thus begins Nikki's long trek down this horrible and worse world that he's created for himself. This is Operation Mindcrime. As Nikki's adherence to the dogma of this new cult and leader that he's found himself in, Dr. X, he's become his right-hand man, his hitman, the man that'll do anything he wants. His ego and adherence to this thing is just growing stronger and as every day. The next song, Speak, speaks of just how much of a hold Dr. X has on Nikki at this point in the album. His dogma is absolutely, he'll do anything for him. He's at the peak of his power. They're both at the top of their game, you know, and as you all know, in all, any kind of story, if you're any history of stories, you know, you're at the top right before the fall. So this is Speak.
Religion is stupid.
that was Speak. I hope you will indulge me. I've decided a couple of these songs I will be playing in their entirety because I think they, to understand this, the power that for me this album has is in some of these songs. That's why I played all of Speak, and I will be playing all of the next song, Spreading the Disease. It is this point in the song that Nikki runs into somebody. Dr. X has this affiliate that works with him. It's called Father William. He is a priest, a corrupt priest, who uses his position for power to be a bad person. And he has somebody that he has, it's this teenage prostitute runaway that he's taken in. It's her name in the story is Sister Mary. And Nikki is introduced to Father William and Sister Mary and quickly falls for Sister Mary. He has a deep affection for her and almost right away has a deep bond with her and becomes a very important part of his life. And this will become the driving force in his change of heart and the things that puts the rest of this story in motion. So this is his introduction, and this is Spreading the Disease.
Stay poor and the rich get rich and the cops get paid.
And it is through his Nicky's friendship and growing affection towards Sister Mary that he begins to question the nature of what he is doing. He sees that Dr. X is no different than any of these other demagogic leaders. He sees he's no difference. He's just as power hungry, just as evil, just as nefarious. There's no difference. He's been blinded by this dogma or by this cult of personality that this so-called doctor has thrown up around him. And as with his relationship with Nicky, he begins to see that something's wrong, that this is not going to hold. He begins to realize his mission is wrong. And he sees this as a potential threat, and he knows that he must do something. And this is the mission. This holy pain now that Dr. X, seeing that Nicky and Mary pose a threat to him, he orders to go to Mary's church and kill the priest and Mary as well. Nicky is very conflicted in doing this. He doesn't want to do this. This is somebody he cares about and loves, but there's a little bit of him that still does not want to ruin this thing he has with the doctor. So he goes to the church, but when he confronts Mary, he does kill the priest, but he doesn't want to do her, and her and him decide that they're going to run away. And they decide to leave the organization. And so what they do is they go to Dr. X to tell him they are out. However, Dr. X reminds Nicky that the alternative is to go back to his bleak life of being an addict and having everything run over him. He uses the whole thing against him. So the first song we're going to listen to here is the part where he goes to the church to confront the priest and Mary. And this is when he decides that he can no longer live with the organization and what Dr. X wants him to do. After this, Nicky and Mary go to Dr. X and decide to tell him that they want out and they are leaving. And as I said before, he reminds them that if he goes back now, he'll have his bleak life as a self-loathing but helpless addict. And in this song, this is when he reminds him of what he is and what he will be if he does not stay with the organization. And it's because of this Nikki leaves conflicted and uncertain, and then he goes back to try and find Mary. And as a side note, when I saw Queensryche in concert in 1992, they had done, this was for their Empire Tour, as the album I was talking about before, they performed this whole album whole in its entirety. And it was this song, Sweet Sister Mary, that just played, that Jeff Tate, the lead singer, broke out in the middle of it and kind of said to the audiences, do you know what the song is called? It's a funny moment because it's like, this is not a commercially successful album. This is more of a critic's darling, and it's just, well, I like it, but I'm not everybody, as we've all said before. But anyways, it was just a quick aside. So now, as he has gone to Dr. X, and Dr. X has reminded Nikki that he cannot leave. This, he reminds him, if you leave, you'll still be your old self-loathing addict. And it's this song that he hears this in, The Needle Lies.
I've had enough and I want out!
You can't walk away now.
And it is now, when Nikki goes back to Mary, he finds her dead. He cannot cope with the loss, as well as the possibility that he himself may have killed her, because with his drug-addled mind, he doesn't know. And he doesn't know it. And he begins to succumb to insanity. He runs through the streets, calling her name. And this is where we find ourselves now, breaking the silence. He is just distraught. He doesn't know what has happened to his love. And what's even worse is he may have been the one to cause her death. Breaking the silence.
Can I go wearing the black mask of fear? The hate in my eyes always gives me away. Protection building slowly. Now I
And it is as Nikki is running around screaming, the police arrive and attempt to subdue him. They find the gun he's been using for all his assassinations and for the one for the priest. They also take him into custody under suspicion of Mary's murder as well. And now he's thrown into the custody. And it's like at this point when he's being questioned about everything, they ask him why he did it, why he hurt this person, why is everything going on, what is it, everything. And it's since he is suffering a complete loss of memory, they put him into a mental hospital. And this is where this song comes in. And I will be playing this full song because this is the only so-called hit. This was the only really charted song off of this one. And this was the one with the video. This is I Don't Believe in Love, which captures his angst and utter despair out of being, thinking he may have killed the one person that he loved and loved him. This is I Do Not Believe in Love.
Why'd you do it?
Why'd you do it?
You didn't
do it.
Why'd you do it?
No!
No!
It is now as Nicky retraces in his mind the last moments with Mary, and he is back in the present in the hospital room where this album began. He has regained his memory, but now stares at his image in a mirror, unable to recognize who he is and what he has become, and how he ended up here and everything. And this is the final song of the album, Eyes of a Stranger, as our hero or anti-hero Nicky finds himself under arrest with the one love he had in his life dead. And it is this point the album ends with, as I said, not a happy ending. Him in the hospital, under arrest, and his love dead. Now, we did find out when Queensryche later released a sequel to this in the 2000s that he did not kill Mary. Mary had killed herself because Dr. X had gone to her and said that if she couldn't help him and she was the cause of all his suffering, you know, typical stuff, you know, play him off, thought he would play him off against each other and dissolve it. So he didn't kill her. That's probably the only happiness about that. Like, as I said, this album was not a like economic success. It was a huge, huge critical success. It's considered one of the best, metal albums, rock albums of the 80s. There's a wonderful idea behind the whole thing. The whole story was amazing. They've done a couple like video things about this live. Like I said, when the 92 tour for Empire, they did the whole album and recorded that and put that out. They've redone it recently, as of like 2016. So this is just an amazing album to me. I loved it. I mean, I came to it late. I did not really pick it up until after Empire, and stuck with me forever. I love it all, but my favorite parts are the very beginning, the whole disillusionment with society itself and how he's manipulated because of this into becoming something worse than what he thought he saw in the society. Queensryche is still around. There's two different bands, one with the lead singer and the other one with the guitarist, as often happens. Two gigantic egos have a problem getting along with each other. But I do suggest, if you liked anything that you heard today, you can go to YouTube, and I will put this link up in my notes that you will look at. You can listen to the whole album free of charge on YouTube. There's a couple videos, but mostly the songs are there. And I really suggest you do. And there's also the intercessionals. They're about a minute each that go in between some of the songs that also help as well. I didn't do those because it would just take too much time, but you could love those as well. They come out very well. I really am happy you guys joined me today, and I really hope you like the idea of me putting whole songs in here. I may do that now and then occasionally if it doesn't cause too much of a problem with space or any kind of like copyright problems that I get. Well, we shall see, as they say. But once again, thank you for joining me off the charts on here on 80s Pop Thoughts. My name is Shelby, and have an awesome week, and I will talk to you again soon. See ya.